So welcome back. Today we're diving into chapter four of Mike Wood's podcast to book series. So if you've been following along, you've heard Mike guide us through a journey of awakening from facing fear and finding presence to discovering the witness within, that quiet awareness behind our thoughts. Today we are taking the next step from awareness to transformation. So over the last few episodes, he has taught us some tools on how to quiet the mind in a sense. And now, chapter four, this chapter is called Move Out of the Fear Bucket and Into the Love Bucket. So Mike breaks down the real world science of energy and emotion, how every thought we think literally shifts the chemistry of our body. So fear, judgmental, anxious thoughts fill the body with cortisol, keeping us stuck in survival mode. But when you shift towards love, gratitude, and compassion, we release oxytocin, the chemical of connection, calm, and joy. So this episode is about training the mind to recognize and reframe negativity automatically from the fear bucket to the love bucket. Before we get started, I just want to say thank you to Dr. Bradley Nelson and iHeartRadio for your sponsorship. To our audience and our fans, please do not forget to like and subscribe before you leave today. It's so nice to see you. I feel like we just quieted our minds. Now we're going to be jumping in these buckets.
Yes, absolutely. Getting ourselves into a positive state of mind. Thank you for
Yes,
having
and
me.
gosh, this morning I was like feeling sorry for myself, and then I flipped the script and suddenly I had energy and that illustrates this so beautifully. Why did that happen?
Well, you literally change the chemicals in your brain. And it's as simple as that you could flip that switch by simply switching your thoughts out of a fear-based thought into a positive, loving, compassionate thought. And the chemicals that get produced in your brain are going to make you drug-induced happy, make you want to take on your day. So.
So you use the phrase move out of the fear bucket into the love bucket. Can you explain what these buckets represent?
Well, I started
I
using
love
this
that.
phrase.
I want to know what the love bucket is.
Well, I started using that phrase, because I used a lot of this before I ever created the program. I used it with my 10-year-old boy. He was kind of freaking out from time to time, and we'd play the grateful game, and we'd talk about getting him out of the fear bucket and into the love bucket. But it makes sense to use it in this chapter because it's something that we consciously can do. You can consciously. Once you're aware of whatever state of mind you're in, you can make the decision to move. You can move, and if you wanted to, you can move back into that fear bucket if you wanted to, which, most people don't make that choice. But if you can just sit for a second and observe how you're feeling, and you can say, okay, wait a minute, I'm feeling bad today. I'm feeling lethargic. I don't want to get off the couch. I don't want to go to work. I'm just having a bad day. Well, if you identify how you're feeling, you can say, oh, wait a minute, I feel kind of like crap today. This is a bad day. You can switch it in 10 minutes. 10 minutes of just having loving, compassionate thoughts. It only takes 2 minutes for your brain to focus on it and go, oh, wow, and flip the switch in your brain. And it's going to take another 5, 8 minutes before you've got so much oxytocin running through you, where you're just drug-induced happy. And it's just a chemical response. We should have all been taught this in elementary school, and we haven't been, but I can go on a dissertation of why. But at the end of the day, this is all just very simple chemicals that are happening in our brain.
Yeah, totally. So you're saying that thoughts actually release chemicals in the body. So can you tell us a little bit more about that? And how can people use this understanding to manage their emotions a little bit better?
So, the basic premise here is very, very simple. There are other chemicals that come into this. There's serotonin, there's dopamine. There are other chemicals, but the basic two big ones are cortisol, which is a fear-based drug, and cortisol, which is a compassion and love-based drug. And when you get into those states, you're going to produce one of those things. We need cortisol. When you get in a fearful situation or somebody's attacking you in some kind of a way, and there's still an imminent threat, cortisol puts you on high alert where you're going to take action, where you're not going to be calm and relaxed and not be up for that test. So cortisol can be a good thing, but we're not supposed to live in it all day long every day. If we're in a safe environment, cortisol should get put on the shelf for when we actually need it, just like adrenaline and some of these other drugs that we need in case of emergency. But we're using The average person is using cortisol all day long, every day, and it's literally killing us. Cortisol is now considered the leading cause of all illness because stress is inducing this cortisol, and cortisol is literally poison that's pumping through our veins, and it's affecting everybody different. It's contracting your blood vessels, blood's not flowing properly, and then we get sick as a result. In a lot of different ways, but just the opposite side has the opposite effect. The more oxytocin you pump into your bloodstream, if you pump enough of it, it starts to create other chemicals that search out and heal your body and try to bring it back to its original healthy state. So we're living in those parallel worlds, and when we understand that, we can literally live a happier and healthier life just by the content of our thoughts.
Yeah,
So,
absolutely. And so you describe a process of teaching the subconscious mind to catch and reframe negativity. So what does
yeah.
this look like then in everyday life? Like, how do we actually flip the script?
So it takes what I've discovered is it takes about a week for your brain to start doing this on its own. Okay, it's basically there's lots of different ways to program the subconscious mind, and I would call this autosuggestion. That's like the clinical term for reprogramming your mind this way. And what this is continuous repetition of doing the same thing. So for me, whenever I have a negative thought, my brain catches it. I'll still have a negative thought that, no, I'm not smart enough or something. But as soon as I acknowledge that thought, my brain is already catching and going, no, you're not. You are wonderful. You're intelligent. That's just an old trauma. And it sends it away and it puts me back into that love bucket. Those thoughts are coming from old trauma from my past, and I haven't healed it all yet. I'm trying and I'm working on it, been working on it for a long time, and I've made a lot of progress. But there's so much there that we all have to go back and heal and figure out. And they can come from other places, not
Mean it
just.
never ends.
Haven't found the end yet, but
Oh,
I'm still trying. I'll let you know. But no, it is a long journey. At the very least, it's a long journey. But we don't have to live in misery on this journey. That old
right.
stuff is causing us pain, but we can find peace in this moment. It's just when we like week one, you figure out where, peace and love and joy is found in the present moment. And we teach some simple tools, gratitude and some box breathing and some other little tools to pull us into that moment. But we can only stay there for just this brief amount of time, right? We could stay there for 2 minutes or 5 minutes or 10 minutes, and then it's gone. And then in the next week, we start meditating. I'll go, okay, now I was able to stay in a peaceful state for 20, 30, 40 minutes. And then after that meditation, I was feeling better for another 20 or 30 minutes. So now I've extended it with that work doing meditation. And then we find that seat where we're sitting in the witness seat. Well, now when we understand the chemicals and we get separation between our thoughts, now those thoughts that are causing us to be in a chemically induced state of happy or unhappy, now we're getting separation from those. Now we can take control over them. And so in this next week, this next part of my program, we basically just do a simple writing exercise where at the end of every day, you write down something that happened that day that was negative. You started your day out with horrible thoughts. This is going to be a shitty day, and I don't want to go to work.
That was me today. That was me today. I laid in bed and I was like, life sucks. I feel like shit. I don't want to get out of bed. How am I going to make through this day? I've got three podcasts later. I love seeing Mike, but I don't feel like doing anything. How am I going to do this? And then I said, you're going to get out of bed and you're going to make a shake and you're going to dance around. And next thing I know is in the shower and now we're here.
And but once you got to changing those thoughts, it only takes 2 minutes. And then if you're dancing around 4 or 5 minutes late, now you're happy. Now it's easy to get through the rest of your day because you switched the chemicals in your brain and were able to get there. I don't get out of bed until I've switched mine. I know in my process, I was waking up every morning and I realized that was when I felt the worst every morning. And I would lay there and I would feel all this yucky in my stomach. Because every morning when I wake up, and I would just lay there, still half asleep, and I would start just saying what I was grateful for and just shifting my thoughts. And 5, 10 minutes later, I get out of bed, I'm happy and I'm ready to go. Hit the ground running, and I have a great day every day. But we can, this isn't easy to do from zero to doing it. But if you just sit and write down at the end of every day, that was being one. You woke up in the morning and you had a negative thought. I bet you've had another negative thought since then. At least one. Yeah. Write them
I had
down.
one right before you said that. I was thinking about something in my like just I lost focus. It happens all the time. The brain is, that's the way the brain works.
Exactly. So write five of them down because it's not easy to just manually shift them into a positive thought. You know, I think we talked about this on the last podcast. When somebody cuts you off in traffic, it's not easy to just make up a reason why that guy
Yeah,
needed to
it's
cut you
not easy
off
to
in
be like,
traffic.
okay, you're having a day. Go ahead. Yeah, exactly.
But
Without wanting to be like, bah.
exactly, that's your initial response. But that produces cortisol. And then
Yeah.
all of a sudden, now you're going to be in that cortisol state where if we immediately get that
Cortisol like
celebration.
activate adrenaline a bit because I know when I like have lost it a little bit or like it was impatient. And if I actually flipped someone off in traffic, then I would feel almost like this rush of energy.
Cortisol and adrenaline are our neighbors, like
So
they're
it's
brother and
like
sister.
keeps you stuck in fight. Yeah. Okay.
And then you're spiraling on that guy and you're thinking about him the rest of the way home. I can't believe that SOB cut me off. I wish I could tell him what I think of him or whatever. I wish I
I
knew where
just
he
throw my
worked.
banana peel at him. Just kidding.
Yes.
Yeah,
But yeah, they stay there because that cortisol is putting that on a reel. It thinks that's a potential threat for you. So it's trying to keep you safe. Like the
yeah.
cortisol is trying to keep you safe, but he cut you off. It was a mistake, accident, whatever. Like there's no reason for you to think about that person for the next 30 minutes on your way home from work.
No, you know what's crazy is that I literally, it's actually not crazy. That's a little extreme. But yesterday, I was posting something on Facebook and I saw someone write a post about she just cut out a bunch of people from her life because she doesn't care that they're talking about her or something like that. And I said in a very nice way in the comments, I said, when you actually let go, you let go. Because if you're still giving them energy, but putting them
Yep.
at that out in the world, you're giving all of your power away. So, with all due respect, ma'am, I think it really bothers you that people are talking about you. Because otherwise, you would just let it go. But she wanted to
Yeah.
announce it every time and how I know you're all talking about me and I don't care. And like, and then so I couldn't help it. I'm like, ma'am, like you need to either let it go or admit that you do care and that you need to, that something needs to be worked through.
Yes.
Because she does care, she's giving it attention.
All that is negative, and she's living in cortisol. Every time she's posting that, thinking about it, whatever, it's just spinning on a reel, and she doesn't even understand it. She's living unconsciously in that pain cycle.
Yeah.
It's unfortunate. But yeah, so when people get through these first 3 weeks and they've done the meditation, they've done the gratitude, they've done the tools, the box breathing, they sit in that witness seat. Now you can start to get separation between the thoughts, and then you go through this next week where you literally just do a writing exercise to start reframing those things. After about a week of writing five down and then five responses that you want. Five negative thoughts and then five positive ones to counteract that. You're training your brain to do it automatically. And after the 3 weeks is done, all of a sudden everything in your brain is now shifting and it's changing. And you're being hypersensitive now to negativity. Everything that's reacting on the inside, you're shifting it all into that love bucket. So you're now drug-induced happy predominantly. Like that's your predominant state. So now when you go into a room with maybe your sister or your brother or your mom or a coworker, and they're being negative, you're like, ooh, gross. Like, I can't, like, you'll have a physical reaction to the people that are coming around you because
Yes.
their negativity is now being hit. It is hitting you in such a negative way that you can't stand it. And people have to have tough conversations with their spouses, with their best friends, with their coworkers. And this is a very, very challenging. I actually make the next 2 weeks of the program kind of softballs to allow people to go through this period, this time frame, dealing with their family, dealing with their friends, because sometimes friends, they can't even deal with them anymore. They actually exiled out of their life
When
because they.
I started living directly from the love bucket, I left my relationship. I like exactly what you said. I had all the conversations. I couldn't take the contrast anymore of what I felt because my frequency was now up here, and I had to walk away.
You become intolerant because, well, I think we all get
Literally, it's like
comfortable.
allergic. It's like an allergy all of a sudden.
Because he's shifting the chemicals in your brain back to that fear bucket, and you don't want to live there. That's a horrible place now. Once you get used to living in the love bucket, oh, it's amazing. You can get comfortable. But the average person is used to living in the fear bucket. It's a normal state of mind, and people just say, life sucks, but you got to push on. And that's because they're living in the fear bucket. People who live in a state of joy all the time and get that oxytocin pumping through them, they're not saying life just sucks and you got to just push through. Yes, you can say life is challenging. Oh, yes, I'm dealing with something, but you're able to find these loving, amazing moments in your daytime. When nothing's happening, you could just be driving home and be happy. You could be on your way to work and be happy. You could be working in something challenging. Go, wow, this is challenging. I'm glad I'm here. I get to experience and learn from this. Like everything starts to get reframed with this positivity, and life just starts to change from that moment. Even though we haven't healed and we got stuff chasing us, life is literally a different thing when you're in oxytocin. It's why people use drugs and alcohol. They're trying to get into that state without doing the hard work because they don't understand it. People use drug and alcohol because they can't get into those states naturally. But typically, once people learn how to get into that state naturally, they don't need that stuff anymore.
Yeah, they don't want it. Their body rejects it.
Exactly.
Crazy. So you talk about protecting your space. So how can someone do that lovingly? Like if someone, I was able to walk away, but what if someone can't cut people out of their life? Like how do they do that?
So you just have to come from a place of love. All right. So if you and I are friends and you're negative all the time, which I know you're not, just for the example,
Like
and
your fish are awful. You need to clean that
yes.
tank.
And like, listen, I like my fish and we're friends. And when you talk bad about my fish, it brings negative world around me. And that negativity, I love myself too much to allow your negativity to push me there. And I'm sorry, we've been friends for such a long time, but like I haven't called you and wanted to hang out because of the negativity that comes to the table, And so you just have to be honest. You have to tell people where you're at, and one of two things is going to happen. They're either going to break and go, I'm so sorry, you were right. I don't know how to, I do this all the time and I don't like it about myself. Like I am negative and I need to work on it. Or what's going to happen is they're going to look at you and go, You judgmental little thing, you. I can't believe you think of me this way. One of two things is going to happen. They're going to snap. And you're going to have 5 to 10 people that potentially you're going to have these conversations with. And some of them are going to do that. Not everybody is going to be that loving person in your corner, ride or die, unconditional love from now until the end of time.
Yeah.
You only have a small group of those people.
That's exactly what happened to me as I finally sat down with my ex and I told him all the things I was feeling. And I was so proud of myself. And I was like in that love bucket. And I'm like, I'm so assertive and I'm in doing the right thing, speaking my truth. And he looks at me and he's like, "You are so judgmental." And then I was like, "Oh my God." And then I'm like, okay, now I can like what I need to walk away. But that's really like I'm very aware, but how do you handle that if you're not used to that? Like what if
It's
your lover,
tough.
your husband, your partner, what if you finally get up the courage and they do exactly what my ex did?
So I would try to, have unconditional love. Most relationships are a mutual thing. I give you love and you give me love back. Well, try to separate from that and try to just have unconditional love for that person, but also have unconditional love for yourself here. So if I go to somebody and I tell them, hey, what you're doing here is the negativity that is coming to the table. I need to separate myself from this. I love you, and I know you're wondering why we're not as close as we used to be, but this is why. And I just want to be honest with you because we have to be careful. If I tell you that you're being judgmental of my fish all the time, well, I'm being judgmental about you being judgmental about my fish. Like I'm casting a stone when I'm doing it. I have to be very careful about how I do it, or I am being judgmental. So
Right.
you have to do it in a compassionate, loving way that's just saying, hey, I've been working really hard to get out of this fear bucket and get into this love bucket. And I hope you understand, but I am in a drug-induced state of happy all the time. And it's based off of this. And if you could somewhat teach the person and try to explain to the person what you just went through over the last 3 weeks and the life-changing stuff that's happening. And if they're not compassionate enough to hear you out, and sometimes it's hard for people. I've had people where I've said something to, I had that negative response, and then it came back a week later, and they were like, dude, I'm so sorry.
Oh,
Like,
he felt, yeah, he was the same way. Like my ex, he was like, oh man, I didn't have a chance to think it. Like that was not how I wanted to respond in that moment. We had a
yeah.
really good discussion after, but that was initial. And I was like, I understand. I also did it in a freshie, so I deserved it.
So, but it's just a challenging spot. It's a very, very, very challenging thing to do. Like to approach somebody that you care about and tell them, hey, the way I was a month ago, I'm not the same anymore. So the things that are happening are now affecting me differently than they were
Yes.
a month ago. So I am changing, and I hope you support me changing because I'm trying to be better. And I'm just acknowledging that these negative thoughts and these negative judgment, if we're sitting around here talking about somebody, I'm having a physical response to that because that which I'm casting into the darkness is pulling me into the darkness. That is truly what's happening. When you
Yeah.
spit judgmental words out, you might as well just be looking in the mirror and saying it to yourself. That's how that is physically making you feel. And when you're doing that, it's horrible. So when we explain this to loved ones and friends, it's how they respond is you can flip a coin. Like some of them are going to respond well and some of them are not. So I've coached probably 15 people through this where they were just coming to me almost on a daily, 2 or 3 times a week to deal with this. And some people come back after a month. Some of these, especially some of the younger generation, everybody's got 20 friends or 30 friends when they're 21 years old. By the time you're 40 years old, you got five. By the time you're
I was
50, you
just gonna
got
say, yeah, you
three.
got five, if that.
Yeah. And so this is part of the weaning process,
Cool.
and it's difficult for them because they never they never chose to make a friend leave. Things happen and then they split up or whatever, but a conscious choice to get distance and set boundaries. But the name of my program is Learning to Love Being You. Setting healthy boundaries is part of the process that
And
it,
people respect you more when you have them. Honestly, the people I respect most in my life, and I'm a Virgo, I'm very hard on myself, I'm hard on other people, but I'm so loving and compassionate, and I mean well. So for me to really respect someone means that they've got like this energy about them that is calm, and their boundaries are solid. If they can set a boundary and tell me to my face exactly what they mean what they say and say what they mean, that to me is powerful. I respect that person so much. Like if I ask for a favor and they usually don't bend corners and they say no, and they say no with authority, I'm like, yes, sir, or yes, ma'am. Like I just love that.
It's authenticity. It's real. It's powerful when somebody is protecting their own personal peace, and they're walking away from that conversation empowered because their peace is not being threatened.
And they
They
don't
know.
care when they say no. Like people need to not feel guilty about no and setting boundaries. 'Cause that's the other thing is when I first stepped into the fear bucket, or I mean into the love bucket, sorry, and started setting boundaries around the people that I was surrounding myself with, they didn't like that very much because suddenly they're like, well, last week you were doing this. So now what? Because suddenly it's you're not the same and you're not showing up like they want you to show up like they're used to. So that can be incredibly challenging as well.
It is extremely difficult process to shift all those negative thoughts in your mind and then realize, wait a minute, that's not the only place negativity is coming from. And it's really challenging. And we really need to find somebody that is in that love bucket and snuggle up to them during this time frame. Let them know what's happening. Let them know the challenges that they're going to. Let them know that you're grateful for them. Ask them if you could, call them when they're going through a difficult time. Like, hey, I gotta go talk to my mom. I gotta set boundaries. She is killing me. She's absolutely killing me when I'm on the phone with her. And this is gonna be so hard. Have somebody in your corner that could work through it and help reaffirm to you that, hey, you're doing the right thing. Set your boundaries. If they truly love you unconditionally, they're just going to support you and agree with you and, wish you nothing but the best. And they're going to do the best they can to stay in the love bucket around you. And, especially family, because most family's not just going to exile you. They're just going to be pissed and talk smack or whatever. But they're going to understand now. When they come around you, they're going to be like, I can't say that shit about Tommy in front of her. I can't talk about her brother in front of her. I can't do this or that. Those boundaries are still set. Whether they like it or not, those boundaries are still set. And they're gonna think about that. And then all of a sudden, it may take 1 month, may take 6 months, but that is going to change them too. They're gonna
Yeah.
have to set
And
the threat.
people are going to test you too, though. Like you have to understand when you set a boundary and people aren't used to you that way, they're going to test that boundary. So like you said, if you set a boundary with your mom that your mom can't talk to you about your brother anymore, and then you go sit next to your mom and she's like, oh, I guess I can't talk to you about your brother. And then you have to be strict and you have to say, you're right, you can't, because I don't want to do that anymore. Because there you're going to be tested.
Yeah, it's super challenging. But when you can get to the other side of this, and now all of a sudden you've got it, positivity going on inside, and now all of a sudden you've set new boundaries and you're not getting attacked from around you, now all of a sudden you're in a whole different world. You are literally living a different life. 3 weeks to get you to that point, another week or two of that difficult time where you're reestablishing boundaries. And now all of a sudden, wherever you were 5 weeks ago, you're not the same person living the same life. You're living a completely different life than you were just 5 weeks ago. And that's an amazing feat in itself.
Yes.
It's extremely powerful. And the people that I've watched go through this, you just see, and you mentioned it a second ago when you're talking about yourself, but it's empowering. You see a physical strength kind of rise within them, and they're just like, I can do this. I can say no to this. And yes, that was my friend. And some people will be really sad, about their friend, because that one friend that cussed them out and told them she's wrong and she's being mean or whatever, that friend went away. And it was sad. And so they got to deal with all that. And were they too mean? And, deal with the insecurities about how, if they handled it the right way. But then you get back to the practices and you get moving. And then that friend comes back 2 months later and goes, I couldn't stop thinking about it. And you were so right. And now all of a sudden they're getting that affirmation that they did do the right thing. Not only did they help themselves and set a boundary, but their friend is now better too. Their friend is now trying to live in the love bucket and is. Took stock in it, but nobody's ever told them that they were living in that fear bucket before. And if they did, they didn't listen. But they cared enough about her to sit in silence without their friend for 2 months and dwell on it. So because she took stock in her own peace and learned to love herself, now her friend is doing the same thing. And that's beautiful because it spreads. If you set the space and you take care of yourself, you're going to affect the people around you in a positive way. Which is beautiful. It's the most amazing things when people around you are changing because you changed.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So, can you walk us through a few of the exercises from this chapter before we leave today? So, how
Sure.
can someone move from fear to love?
So the first thing that I would say is just do a body check. Right. So a lot of times we'll feel anxiety or we'll feel things before we go somewhere. Like, hey, we're going to go to a birthday party or a family gathering or a work event, and you'll feel stuff going on. That's a perfect time to check and see where you're sitting. Right. If you're feeling kind of anxious and you're feeling like you're in that fear bucket, okay, I know how to get out of it. It takes 10 minutes. As long as you have 10 minutes, you can get out of it before you go anywhere. So you can do your box breathing. You could do just talk about what you're grateful for driving down the road, and you can shift yourself and you can get yourself into that right place. So just a visual check, like, all right, how do I feel right now? Just stop and do a check. And that's just being aware. That's literally just doing an awareness check of where you are. Because most time we're in that state when we just go with it. We don't take the conscious moment to stop and make a conscious decision to change that. Okay, wait a minute. I feel like shit and I don't want to. Okay, now I can get out of there. Just doing that randomly, checking in with yourself and saying, hey, how do I feel? And go, okay, I have tools to make myself not feel this way. That's a great just exercise in itself, just to have awareness. Setting the loving boundaries, I mean, that's a big deal. Being able to set loving boundaries with somebody who's toxic, that's an extremely big deal. So, and doing that in a loving way where you're not being judgmental. If you can't have a conversation with somebody and just be loving, sweet, and kind to them by telling them what you're going through and how you feel without them blowing up, well, that conversation is probably not going to be for them, and you just need to get distance. And then if that distance bothers them, they'll come back with more of a calm, loving conversation, and then you can go from there. But if they can't even have a conversation with you, distance is the best thing for everyone. So that would be my next piece of advice that I would say is just space. You can't make somebody wake up, because that's what we're doing here. In this program, you're waking up. You're taking the unconscious and making it conscious. So if you're talking to somebody who's sleepwalking, you can't wake them up. So
And
they want to
you know
live in
what,
that.
Mike, that is a really hard realization for some people. It was for me. It was like, I woke up and then I felt like since I was awake that everybody else would understand. And then you actually realize that the opposite is true, is that you're awake and they're not, and they'll never understand unless they wake up themselves. And there's nothing you can do. Like the person has to be willing to wake up and do that work. And sometimes it's just not the right time, but that can be a really challenging realization to come to. I know for me, it was like, wow. And then I felt like I was this person, it was a girl in a box. And I'm like, this is a lonely place to be.
The first reaction that people have on this journey when you're waking up and with you're having a spiritual journey, you start seeing things, you start waking up, is you want to help everybody. That's everybody's initial response. And some of the best advice that I've ever gotten from a yogi was that you just work on you, and that your ability to help people and wake them up is going to be by them looking at you going, what the hell are you on? I want some of that. By you setting an example, by you sitting in a chair and just being happy for no reason. Like, where is that coming from? I don't know what you're doing, Mike, but I want some of the shit that you're doing. And then now all of a sudden they're open. They start to wake up a little bit as a result of something else. So you can help somebody, but it can only because you are helping yourself. You're becoming more, you're becoming powerful, you're becoming a higher vibration that is radiating out. And then once they sit in that enough, now they're going, oh wow, I want what Lisa's got. Lisa, what are you doing? Okay, now you can actually help them. But if they don't come to you, you can't physically help them. They have to literally say, Lisa, I need your help. Or so and so, I need your help. Now you could physically help somebody. If not, the only thing you could do for them is to become more powerful, more strong, more authentic, more loving, more compassionate yourself, and be create a bigger vibration, a bigger aura, a more powerful you that radiates, and it will affect the people around you, and they will change and want the same thing that you have. But that's literally the only way that we can help anybody. And when you do that and you start to see it happening, it's like, holy moly, it's powerful because you know that you had that influence, and it reaffirms what we're supposed to be doing. But that's been one of my biggest struggles too, is because it's everybody's innate response. I now know something that I can help you. You must want this now. Don't you want it? It will help you right now. Please just take this. And no, I don't want that. That's stupid. I'm sorry. I can't believe you're trying to give me that. You sound like a crazy person. Please go away. You're crossing my boundaries. Oh shit. And you do that a couple of times and you start to realize that nobody wants it.
I'm laughing because I did that. I did that. I'm like, I have all the answers. I can help you. And people are like, you're weird. Go away.
Everyone that goes through a spiritual awakening goes through this. Everyone that becomes more mentally healthy goes through the exact same thing. We're all on the same journey.
You know, it's crazy that our auric field, once we expand and we continue waking up and like go higher and higher and higher, our auric field travels further and further and further and further and further and further, where the love that you're emitting into the world right now is actually affecting the entire world because we're all connected to the same consciousness. And so just by emitting love, you're affecting the entire planet. How crazy is that?
It's amazing. It's amazing. And when you start to
So, to your point, it is like we don't even have to be doing anything to be creating change if we're living in the love bucket.
That is the change. That is the change. Just by shifting into the love bucket and becoming more authentic, setting your boundaries, it's helping far more than that one person that we were trying to help when we first crossed over. Now we're helping. You can't even count, because it's like that pyramid scheme. You help one person and that person changes. Well, when if that person just wakes up, then now they have a possibility of waking up two people. And if those two people wake up two people, now there's four people. Like it starts a triangle that just pushes out. And the impact of one person getting into that love bucket and staying there, and it changes family dynamics, it changes businesses, it changes communities, it changes everything that that person touches. And
Yeah.
it's powerful.
How has it changed in your world?
Oh man, like my family is different. I'm watching so like my wife, she's the one that thought I was crazy. She loved me, but she thought I was crazy. And so I
Because
could
you were trying to
never
help her?
at first, yeah, I was trying to help everyone, my kids, my family, you're crazy, you're crazy. I was like, okay, I don't want to be the crazy one. I'll shut up. And that was hard for me. But I did, and I got very good at it. I learned, just unconditional love. Like I'm not trying to help anybody. So this practice of unconditional love. But all of a sudden now I had to set boundaries. I had to set them with my wife. My wife got a little frustrated, but she adapted pretty quick. Then 6 months later, I watched her get an aversion to negativity. And then my daughter and her were like besties, or still are. And they had about a month of a break, not really talking to each other. And then she came back. Now she's positive. Like me setting boundaries literally just pushed to my wife, pushed to my daughter, pushed to her friends, pushed to my wife's friends. At work, big thing about 3 years ago, kind of a blow up, setting boundaries, boom, boom, boom. The entire company that we work with now, it's everyone here. I got the guy that cleans my fish. He comes in here and he just talks about how because he'll come in the middle of a conversation. So he's like, I go into a lot of businesses. Is everybody always this happy all the time? Like everybody just works together and nobody's yelling and nobody's mad and nobody's talking bad about anybody. Like, no, there's no reason to. If we have a problem, we bring whoever's in the room and we have a compassionate conversation about whatever the problem is and we fix it. We're serious about fixing it, but it doesn't have to be any negativity. There doesn't have to be any, thing. If everybody cares and has the same goal in mind, we just have a conversation and we move forward. But we're honest enough to have that conversation, which is difficult. But if we do it in a loving, compassionate way, now all of a sudden it just starts to trickle through the whole company. Like, I can make a mistake and we're all on the same page. Like, this is great. So my entire world has changed and this company has thrived. We went from $2.5 million a year 12 years ago, and we're probably going to be $95 million this year in revenue. That's 3,900% growth in 12 years, which is crazy for a company that's not a tech company, we're actually out here installing pipe in the underground, paving roads, doing concrete, like physical stuff. Companies don't grow like that in that amount of time without going bankrupt. Like it's an extremely rare thing. But I attribute a lot of it to the people here love Jarrett companies. Like they truly just love being here. It's all turned into a family, and it 100% is attributed to the way that we as a group, care and communicate and stay in that love bucket. We can be serious, but we still care about everyone.
Yeah, absolutely. So, where can people find out more information about your program? And do you have any last minute thoughts on today's topic?
Learn to love being you, .com is where you can find it. If you can't afford it, email me at mike@learntolovebeingyou.com. I don't want money to be a thing that doesn't allow somebody to take this program. So just email, we'll figure that out. And just the last like closing words on this topic, I guess would just be to change from where you were. If you were feeling funky and you wanted to change, it's hard. But in 4 or 5 weeks, you could be living a different life. It just takes hard work. You gotta be willing to physically do the hard work. But in 4 or 5 weeks, you can have all the tools and made all the changes to be living a life that's different. There's another 7 weeks after this where we actually go on and we heal and we get rid of some of the old stuff. But if you stopped right here, your life will be different just by going this far. So I challenge you, and I challenge you, if you're listening to this and you're just tired of the way your thoughts are going and you just feel like you have to constantly fight those negative thoughts when you're getting out of bed and you're fighting through your days, it doesn't have to be that way. And make the first step. Get after it.
Yes, absolutely. Well, so much fun talking to you. I look forward to chapter five.
Yeah, thank you.
And to our audience, it is very uncomfortable when you start doing something different. That uncomfortable feeling will get easier. Take the first step. We only have one life to live. We might as well enjoy every moment of it. Take care, everybody.